Grace and peace in the name of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the living one, the Alpha, the Omega, the one who holds the keys to death and Hades. Amen. Our text is the Gospel, John 20. Let us pray. Lord, your word is sharper than a double-edged sword. It's powerful and living and active. May your holy word ever penetrate our minds and hearts to give us faith, draw us close to you, that we would believe. Rid us of our doubts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. What happened? Last Sunday, Easter Sunday, was all about what happened. Do you remember what happened? I guess not. It's been a week. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. That's what happened. And last Sunday, we looked at the text of all the evidence of his resurrection. The stone is rolled away. The tomb is empty. The angels are there. Peter and John run to the tomb. Jesus appears to Mary Magdalene. All the facts that he indeed is risen. He's risen indeed. Hallelujah. That's what happened. And this Sunday then, where is Jesus? All right, he's God. He conquered death. He's alive. Where is he in this big world, this big universe? Did he go to Rome? Show himself to the emperor? That's what I would do. Go to Caiaphas, who condemned him, Pilate, who condemned him. He show up in the temple to all the priests that condemned him. Is he in the sky somewhere behind a cloud? Where is he? And we learn today in John 20 that he is here. And so we shout today, he is here. He is here indeed. Hallelujah. Where is Jesus? He comes to his scared, guilt-ridden little flock of 10 men. Thomas isn't there the first week and Judas has committed suicide. He comes to them. What a loving Savior. Where do you find this risen Jesus with his church? He's right here today with peace and blessing for his church. Two lessons from John 20. Jesus is ever the great teacher. His word goes forth in the church. And two lessons to summarize John 20, what he teaches those 10 men and then Thomas the week later with the other 10. He would teach us today, this second Sunday of Easter, remember the cross, the cost of your salvation, and reach out to the lost. Those are the two lessons for the church. Remember the cross, the cost of your salvation, and reach out to the lost. This is the constant teaching of Jesus, if you will. First of all, he would teach us today, as he taught them back then that Easter evening, remember the cross. Notice it fascinates me that Jesus comes among them. He stands among them. The doors are locked and he says, peace be with you, ever the forgiving, gracious Lord. He forgives them. Peace with God. Peace with me. Peace with the world, he prays. And then right after that, when he had said this, verse 20, he showed them his hands and his side. He showed them his scars immediately after he speaks a word of peace, showing them his scars. Now, question that you might be asking that I ask, why in the world does the risen Lord still have scars? This is God. He's alive. His body's come back. He is alive. He's risen. He's risen indeed. Hallelujah. Why does his body have scars? Why nail marks in his hands and feet and in his side has a big hole in it from the spear? Why not a perfect, pristine body, no more scars, let's cover all that ugly stuff up? Why scars? And the scars he shows to Thomas too, he tells Thomas, touch the scars. He's teaching the men back then and us, remember the cross. There is great, great joy in my resurrection, and may that joy fill your heart. Remember what it cost. Remember what I did for you, that you had this joy, that you had this victory, that you're going to go to heaven. Never forget the cross and thus the scars. Remember the 6 hours I hung there. I know you guys don't want to. You want to put that in the past. Remember what I did. The blood, the gore, remember it. The nails, the spear, the crown of thorns, the whip, the darkness, the curtain tearing, the earthquake. Remember all of it. Remember my crying out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Remember that. Ponder that. Meditate on it. Don't forget that. Don't you ever forget that. If you forget it, you'll treat my salvation lightly. You'll grumble and complain. Like, what have you done lately, God? You'll treat it cheaply. Remember the cross so that you have gratitude every day of your life. And you are thankful even in your sufferings. And you praise me even when you hurt. That you are content and satisfied because I shed my very blood for you. And don't you ever forget it. I think back to the salvation God brought forth in the Old Testament when I read this. When God saved the people of Israel from their slavery, they were slaves in Egypt 430 years. And then what did God do for them, these poor, wretched slaves? And the 10 disciples are poor and wretched, kind of like slaves there in that room hiding. Well, God sent 10 plagues. One plague after another plague. Great, mighty acts of God. The final one, of course, the angel of death and the whole Passover story of the sacrifice of the lamb and its blood on their homes. And then God parted the Red Sea, a great miracle through water. And little Eli came through the Red Sea and was saved today in the waters of baptism. Spectacular, amazing. God did these incredible, visible, spectacular things. He saved his people, slaves. And the people get out in the desert, and what do? Right off the bat? They grumble and complain. And God tells them over and over again, did you forget what I just did? I just sent 10 plagues. I just parted the Red Sea. I love you. You're mine and you forget already. You grumbling people. And so Christ keeps the scars. He ever has the scars to say, don't forget what I've done for you. I am the Passover lamb. I shed my blood for you. I suffered for you. That's the cost of how you're saved. You're God's children. And don't forget it. And don't go grumble and complain about your poor lot in life. I don't want to hear it. Rejoice, praise me, thank me, and be content, for he is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. You know, I read, interestingly, I don't know if it's totally true, but I read this where, you know, when we have a wedding, why the bride is on the right side when you're looking up, or rather on the left side when you're looking up at the altar, and the groom is on the right side. You know why that is? I always kind of wondered that. Well, they say it goes back to the old days. In the very old days of marriage, the groom who's marrying the bride, he wanted to have his right hand free, so he wanted to marry his bride holding her with his left hand, and she him with her right hand, so he'd have his right hand free just in case another man tried to come up and steal her away. He had his right hand free to grab his sword and get rid of this bad guy. Get out of here, she's mine! Now, is Becca here today? Wolfert's here today? That won't happen with Becca's, but don't worry, Olivia. Isn't that romantic? Keep my right hand free, honey, just in case there's some guy there's going to try to steal you away. I gotcha. You're mine. Do we know what our bridegroom has done for us, his bride? His hands are on a cross, nailed. He had the sword in his side for us. To say, you're mine, church. You're my bride. And sin cannot have you. Death cannot have you. Hell cannot have you. You're mine. I'll never let you go. And that may not be so romantic, but that's love. That's true love. Easter doesn't cover over the cross. Easter doesn't cancel out the cross. It doesn't push aside the cross. And now we just have Easter. Easter puts the spotlight on the cross. Easter puts the spotlight on the cross. Look at the cross. Look at the scars. Easter teaches us the cross is not misery, it is mercy. Jesus didn't die for his own sins, he died for our sins. The cross is not suffering, it's salvation. It's not just pain, it's peace with God. It's not just rejection, it is redemption of the world. Remember the cross. Easter shines the light on it. Especially when you grumble and complain about your life. Oh, how your God loves you. And then the second lesson today is reach out to the lost. And it stands out to me, too. These men are scared. They're hiding. And Jesus comes to them, peace be with you, shows them his hands inside, and immediately he prepares them for their mission. He doesn't wait a day. He doesn't wait a week. He doesn't have some big seminar about how to reach the world. That's what we would have today, some conference, some seminar of 5 days, and bring in all the experts about how to save the world out there. But right away, to these scared, guilt-ridden men hiding, he gives them a mission, doesn't he? He breathes on them the Holy Spirit right away, not later. You have the Holy Spirit. You have the power of the Spirit now. You have no excuse. The breathing recalls creation, when God breathed into the dirt and made Adam. And now the disciples are like dirt. They're lifeless. They're dead, if you will. And Christ breathes on them. He breathes on us. He breathed on little Eli. Now you're mine. Now you're alive. Now you have faith. Now you have me. You should have boldness and courage, and you're fearless in the world. Open the doors, guys, and go live. I've conquered the world. What are you so afraid of? You have the Holy Spirit. And why? He gives the purpose. As the Father sent me, so I am sending you. He does not give them 5 commands, 10 commands, 27 guidelines for reaching the world. As the Father sent me to give my life for the world, I'm sending you. Go give your life for the world. Go love and love and love the world. And love some more. And go proclaim forgiveness and proclaim forgiveness and proclaim forgiveness to all people in my name. Go show compassion. Go care. Go listen. Go help. Go be my servants. Go, world. As the Father sent me, I'm sending you. That's your mission. Now get going. Unlock the door and go, guys. It's immediate. And the Lord gives them, as I mentioned in Bible class today, one man to work on for a week. It's kind of a learning ground for them. And that's Thomas, who's one of their own, who's not there. And for the whole week, they get to work on Thomas. And the disciples learn some things about their mission. Every single person counts. Every single person counts. Don't forget about Thomas. He counts. Everybody counts. Children, boys, girls, men, women, whoever they are, they count. God wants them. Don't skip over them. They learn to persevere because Thomas doesn't believe immediately. They tell him, we've seen the Lord, but he doesn't believe. He's stubborn. He's teaching us, you got to persevere in this. People are not going to convert overnight or immediately in front of you. A few might, and praise be to God. Most won't. They'll be stubborn. They won't believe. They'll question. They'll be critical. Keep preaching. Keep teaching. Keep preaching. Keep teaching. Persevere. Keep planting the seed. Don't give up, church. It's going to be hard, but I will save many. So you keep planting the seed. And he reminds them it's all by his power that it happens. It's not by their gimmicks, their games, their strategy. Thomas believes when he finally is with the risen Lord. Jesus does the converting. We don't. All we can do is preach and teach. And so be patient, church. I'm working. I want them all saved. You preach me, I am there. In their ears, working on their heart. Trust that. The Holy Spirit is there, working on their heart. Trust that. You just be patient and let me work. And watch how many people I will save. Don't give up. Who is the Thomas in your life that you can go tell? Someone close to you, close friend, family member. You know, I read a headline this week that made me giggle. The headline said, humanity's future depends on the red planet, Mars. Really? The future of humanity depends on Mars? The red planet? Really? This is nonsense. I'll tell you what humanity's future depends on. It depends on the red blood of the Son of God, the red blood that came out of his body at the cross that would cover all sins. That's what humanity's future depends on. It depends on the mission of the church to go tell the world of that red blood that came from the hands and the side and the head of Jesus, that they would know forgiveness. That's where humanity's future lies, in the future of the church's mission, which is the mission of God. Not a red planet, but red blood. He is here. He is here indeed. Hallelujah. We have peace. We get to touch Jesus in communion. We have the Holy Spirit. Remember, church, the cross. Reach out to the lost. Open the doors, disciples, and live. Open the doors, First Lutheran, and go live. Amen. We rise. May the peace of God, which transcends all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.